religion. Religion is about rules, isn't it? A rule for this, a rule for that, a rule for absolutely everything. It's something Jesus ran into over and over again. Religion, ritual, rules, all of which are supposed to get you closer to God, but all of them imposters. Follow them and they lead you away from God. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond and welcome again to the program. Today we're going to take a look at the amazing grace of God from a different perspective. And please do stick with me because in just a few minutes I'll be telling you about our free daily devotional, Fresh, to help you lay hold of that grace, live in that grace, each and every day. It never, ever, ever ceases to amaze me how we can take something as simple, as straightforward as the love of God, the saving love of God, a love so great that He sent His Son to die on a cross for us, how we can take something so rich and profound and twist it and pervert it and produce out of it a bunch of rules. I remember when I was a kid, we weren't allowed to eat for an hour before the start of the church service. Really? What was that all about? Centuries ago, there were pole sitters, people who believed that in order to please God, they had to deprive themselves of things. So they sat up on platforms, on poles for days, weeks, months, and some of them even for years. This rule, that rule. It's nothing new. This goes way back. You can read about it in the Old Testament and the New Testament. In Jesus' time, the Pharisees made a whole living out of this. The Old Testament law, the Torah, the first five books of what Christians now call the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. This was the law written down by Moses, 613 commandments and prohibitions. But then the religious cults like the Pharisees got a hold of it and added layer over layer over layer of religious rules, many of them so ridiculous, so far from the scriptures, that it completely begs belief. So they held not only to the Torah, but to the oral law. They added to the Bible, in other words. And the incredible detail of the minutiae that they got involved in is unbelievable. It covered every conceivable area of human conduct. Do this, don't do that. Ridiculous to the extreme. And all along, they thought that by tithing their herbs, for goodness sakes, this would bring them closer to God. Now, it was their perception of all these religious rules versus this Jesus who hung out with tax collectors and prostitutes that absolutely offended them to the core. They had become so perverted in their understanding of God that they believed that the only way to God was by observing all these bizarre rituals and rules. And one of the things that they'd built lots and lots and lots of rules about was the Sabbath. Now, the Sabbath is the day that God set apart for His people to rest and to worship Him. Sabbath, that word literally means rest. Genesis chapter 2, verse 2. And on the seventh day, God finished the work that He'd done, and He rested on the seventh day from all the work that He had done. That word rested is the Hebrew word Shabbat, from which we get the word Sabbath. And sure, God had decreed that the seventh day would be the day of Sabbath rest. It was in the Torah, in the Hebrew law, straight from God to Moses. It's in the Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day is your Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work. Your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord has blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. So, you weren't allowed to work on the Sabbath. But what constitutes work and what doesn't? Well, ain't that just a rich and fertile ground for making up some rules? Absolutely. And that's exactly what the Pharisees did. Rules, more rules, get more rules. And that's what this next encounter in a day at the office with Jesus is all about. Let's have a listen. Luke chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. One Sabbath, while Jesus was going through the grain fields, His disciples plucked some heads of grain, rubbed them in their hands, and ate them. But some of the Pharisees said, "Why are you doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" Jesus answered, "Have you not read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God and took and ate the bread of the presence, which it is not lawful for anyone but priests to eat, and gave some to his companions." Then he said to them, "The Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath." On another Sabbath he entered the synagogue and taught, and there was a man whose right hand was with it. The scribes and the Pharisees watched him to see whether he would cure on the Sabbath, so that they might find an accusation against him. Even though he knew what they were thinking, he said to the man with the withered hand, "Come and stand before me." He got up and stood there. Then Jesus said to him, "I ask you, is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save a life or to destroy it?" After looking around at them, he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He did so, and his hand was restored. But they were filled with fury and discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus. Now, as I said, some of these rules beggar belief. So rigid had they become that they made a rule that you couldn't pick some grain off a stalk and rub it in your hand to eat it when you were hungry. So what were you supposed to do? Go hungry? Or walk 5 miles to somewhere where they sold food, which is harder work, picking some grain off a stalk or walking 5 miles? And what about the person who gave you the food at the end of it? Is giving you food working any more than picking grains off a stalk? No, they still had to make rules about all of this stuff. And then the healing of the man with the withered hand. Was he going to heal on the Sabbath or not? "Come on," Jesus said to them, "if God's going to heal on the Sabbath, that's an amazing miracle from God. And by the way, I am he, and I am the Lord of the Sabbath. I decreed the Sabbath. It's my Sabbath. And as such, I get to do good on the Sabbath." Do you see how twisted all this rule-making is? It completely misses the point. In trying to get closer to God through a bunch of rules, you're actually getting further away from him. Instead of loving and healing, you're oppressing. And that's exactly what Jesus says elsewhere. The scribes and the Pharisees tie up heavy burdens hard to bear. They lay them on the shoulders of others, but they themselves are unwilling to lift a finger to move them. "But woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you lock people out of the kingdom of heaven. For you do not go in yourselves, and when others are going, and you stop them. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cross sea and land to make a single convert, and you make the new convert twice as much a child of hell as yourselves." Friends, rules and religion lock people out of the kingdom of heaven. The more we try, the more we become a child of hell. Jesus was right. You can see it. These rules were meant to achieve one thing, but they completely achieved the opposite. They replaced love and grace with rules and religion. They replaced compassion with compliance, and that, according to Jesus, completely misses the point. Friend, the only way into the kingdom of God is Jesus. That's why when one of his disciples asked him about which was the way to where he was going, he said, John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." If there's just one thing that I can leave with you following these 2 weeks where we've been spending each day a day at the office with Jesus, if there's just one thing, it would be this. It's not about rules. It's not about religion. The only way into the kingdom of heaven is through Jesus. Look at the Pharisees. Look at Jesus. Blind Freddy can see that. Before we go, I'd like to tell you about our free daily devotional that I'd love to send you to help you draw even closer to God. It's called Fresh, a powerful scripture verse together with some words of inspiration, hope, and encouragement delivered right to the inbox on your smartphone, tablet, or computer each and every day. You can read it, listen to the audio, or even watch the daily video. It's completely up to you. God's Word, fresh for you each day. It's completely free. To get instant access, just stop by our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. You'll see the Fresh Devotional sign-up right there at the top of the homepage. And when you do subscribe, you'll instantly receive a free copy of the ebook, How Can I Hear God Speak to Me? That web address again, in case you missed it, is ChristianityWorks.com. So go ahead, sign up to receive Fresh, and may your heart be touched and transformed as you draw ever closer to Jesus through his word. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again same time Monday with a different perspective.